Have you got a card, sir?
Card?
Identity card.
No. I'm here to see a drama producer.
Report to the reception desk, please.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello, BBC Pebble Mill. Getting through. Yes?
I'm here to see Mr. Roberts.
Who?
Jack Roberts, drama department.
Radio drama?
Yes, that's right.
What's your name?
Andrew Benson.
Just a moment, please.
Bert Parnaby plays Jack Roberts and Edwin Richfield plays James Meriden in a play by T.D. Webster.
Radio drama.
A very meticulous death.
Oh, right. A.P. Benson, the waiter Chance Desires, with the script on your desk this morning.
Did you?
There. Shall I go down and fetch him?
Ah, yes.
Well, reception don't know him. They won't let him come on by himself.
See to it, will you, Kath? No. Hold on. What's the time? I'll see to him. Nearly lunchtime. We have a chat in the bar.
The club's not open yet.
Well, I can show him the studio first. He hasn't been here before, has he?
No.
Is he the schoolmaster?
Inland Revenue.
The tax man cometh. That's handy. Did I tell you about the letter I have?
It all depends where the scene's taking place. If it's outdoors, they'd be in the dead room. In here. You see? There's no residence. And then this bit we call the live end.
What do you use this for?
Big interiors, halls, places like that. There's just a bit of resonance, you see. And then there's this carpeted area for sitting rooms and so on. And we've got a variety of doors, handles and catches. And and then a set of stairs. You'll be there, behind the glass, in the cubicle with the studio manager and Grams.
Grams?
Grams looks after the recorded sound effects from in there. There'll be someone out here to look after the live sound effects. We call him Spot.
Oh?
I nip backwards and forwards between here and the cubicle. I set things up, have a chat to the actors, then hopefully go back in there and record it after a couple of rehearsals. You'll see. You'll be able to make it, will you, Andrew?
Oh, yes, I hope to.
Good.
I still have a few days' holiday left. Do you know when the recording will be?
Around Easter, I should think.
How long will it take?
A couple of days.
Is that all?
Well, it's standard for an afternoon theatre. It's a bit of a rush sometimes, but there shouldn't be any problems with yours. No fancy stuff.
I've no idea about the technical side.
That's okay, that's fine, Andrew. The last one I did was a beauty. He races down the stairs, along the full length of the room, and hurls himself through the window, into the courtyard below. I asked him.
I thought perhaps mine had too much sitting around talking.
No, they're talkers, aren't they? Academics. Right, lunch. Do you fancy a drink first?
Oh, yes, fine.
Good. We'll get in before the lunchtime rush.
Double indemnity.
Right. Fred McMurray, Barbara Stanwyck, Edward G. Robinson. How could they improve on that?
They tried recently. I forget who. Flop.
Would be, wouldn't it? The postman always rings twice. That's another. They tried that. And what about Brief Encounter? Richard Burton in the Trevor Howard
part. And Sophia Loren.
That's right. You know, Andrew...
41 toasties.
And I don't mean this disparagingly. I think your writing has a lot in common with those old 40s and 50s films.
Well, I'm a bit of a nut, really. I suppose I've seen so many that I must have absorbed something of the technique.
Could have done worse. Nice, clear storyline, straightforward development, good characterisation.
Now, I found characterisation terribly difficult.
I don't think it shows.
I had a real struggle seeing them. I found I have to see them. Then, I hit on this idea of casting.
Casting?
Yes, thinking of who could play them. actors from those old films. It gave the characters faces, sort of ideal casting, I suppose. I found it much easier after that. For example, I saw Jane, the Don's wife, as Celia Johnson.
Yes. What about the Don? What's his
Philip.
Name?
Philip.
Yeah.
Leslie Howard.
Ah, yeah. Do you know who I see?
Robert Donat.
No. James Meriden.
Oh, yes. Yes, just right. I saw him in a late film recently on television.
The Moving Finger. He often turns up these days. Yes, I can just see him as the Don.
Have you worked with him before?
Once.
In radio?
Yeah. 5-6 years ago. Shaw, I think it was. Big prestige job. Memorable as it turned out. I wondered if he's still around. How old is the character?
Oh, mid, late 60s.
There you are. Just right.
You're thinking of him for the part?
Why not? I think he's still around.
Well, the last thing I saw him was A Bridge Too Far.
Everybody was in A Bridge Too Far. You know, Andrew, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Would he do it?
Well, we can owe no harm in asking. He's a name people would recognise. And a voice. It's worth a go.
Yes.
I'll see what I can do. By the way, I hear you're a tax man.
That's right. Am I sinned?
They sent me this letter the other day.
See?
I earn a few quid writing the odd article. It's about that, I think. Bloody Greek to me.
Yes, it's bloody Greek to me as well.
Thanks.
I wonder, what about this?
All deleted. It jumps from speech 2 down to speech 9.
Is that unsaleable?
I don't know.
Well, it's your writing.
That's an unsaleable question, hardly, no. Insoluble? Yes, intolerable question, that's it. Anything else?
I don't think so. Oh, yes, I found James Meriden, or rather his agent.
Good! What's he say?
Well, James Meriden has retired, more or less, but he might be interested as it's radio. He has a great affection for radio, his agent says. Anyway, he's asked for a copy of the script. I thought Meriden was more of a romantic lead.
I never realised you go as far back as that, Kat.
Mother is a fan.
If Meriden takes the trouble to read it, he'll do it. Nice big part, just up his street. A distinguished chit.
His agent was doubtful, but he rang this morning.
Meriden? Himself?
The man himself, in person. He likes it, basically.
Will he do it?
He's asked me to go and see him. Normally, I wouldn't bother, but I think I'll go. It isn't far.
Where's he live?
The Cotswolds, near Chipping Campden. How do you feel about script changes?
It depends.
I don't think it'll be anything major. He can hardly want the part building. But he may have some valid points to make. Like his character, he had a good war.
Yes, I read that somewhere.
Parachuted into occupied France. I shall doubtless hear about it.
Did he remember you?
What?
You said you'd worked with him before.
Oh, yes. Yes. He remembered. I'm seeing him tomorrow. If I can get a decision out of him, we can get cracking. I think he's genuinely interested.
Perhaps he needs the money.
I doubt it. No, he sniffed a nice fat part with no lines to learn.
Geoffrey, God knows why, still insists on sending me scripts to read. I rarely get beyond the first few pages, but this... I think this is promising. I liked it immediately.
Good.
It's too wordy in parts, and he tends to repeat himself, but it's literate and it's well-structured. Is the author an academic?
No, he's a tax inspector.
I'll try not to hold that against him.
It's his first radio play. I'm sure he'll listen to advice.
Oh, I wouldn't presume. Everybody has something to say. I like that.
I think it's Andrew's strongest point. No coughs and splutters.
That's right, coughs and splutters. I used to get quite a few of those in the early days. You think I'm right for this, Jack?
Exactly right.
It's years since I did any radio. I'm surprised to hear your name mentioned when my agent rang.
Oh.
Well, as I recall, we didn't part on the best of terms.
Water under the bridge, James.
Glad to hear it.
I thought of you immediately for this.
Did you? Well, I like the idea, I must admit. The chap in this, the Don, I can relate to. I know his background.
You both had a good war.
Eh? Hmm? Oh, the cloak and dagger stuff. I think about that a lot these days. Never did then. No, I've done nothing at all for 3 years, you know. Nothing.
It'll soon come back. You could take this in your stride.
My stride falters occasionally, you know. Do you mind if I make one or two suggestions?
No, not at all.
Just a couple of ideas, that's all. Look, we'll talk about it later. Let's have some lunch first. I believe Mrs. Goddard's left us something in the kitchen. I thought I'd open a Graves. What do you think?
Sounds promising.
Oh, come along.
Did you meet his wife?
He lives alone. His wife died last year.
Who was he married to? Mum will know. Will he do it, do you think?
I have a feeling that depends on how I react to his suggestions recasting. Any progress on that?
Well, both Tom and Meg are available. Charles says Tom Darwin likes a drink.
Tom likes several. Not a rare condition amongst actors. He'll be okay. No problem when we last worked together.
Wasn't Meg in that as well?
That's right. Be nice working with him again.
He's lucky, isn't it?
What is?
Oh, you know them both so well. Why did he ask for them?
Jobs for the boys, I suppose. You didn't say that Meriden had asked for them, did you?
No. Mum will be delighted if he does it.
Huh? Oh, yes. Bring her to a reception. She can mob him.
Has he changed much?
He's infinitely more humble than when last we met, or seems so. I didn't get any of the big star stuff, Larry and Johnny and Rafe and the rest of it.
I meant to look at. I have to give a report.
Oh, he's kept his looks, retained the profile and his hair, if it's his own.
Heads will turn in the club.
Bound to. Meriden belongs to the generation of actors who look like actors. Unlike now, when they could be anybody. Real people, in fact. I ask you, who wants actors who look like real people?
A nice, solid cast, all experienced, except Miranda, and she's very good.
You said Meriden made some casting suggestions. Did you follow any of them up?
Tom and Meg, yes, they're both in. They'll be fine. Did I give you the dates?
Yes.
We'll start off with a straight read-through. That'll take us up to lunch. Oh, and, yes, what about the bits and pieces Meriden wanted changing?
Oh, I thought they seemed valid.
Fine. I'll send you a copy with the changes.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning.
I'm trying to find my way into the studio.
Oh, this is all the studio, but this is the control room. That's where everybody is. You can see them there, through the glass.
Oh, yes. They've started.
On time, for once.
I got caught in the traffic. Oh, sorry, Andrew Benson.
I guessed. George Gibson, studio manager.
I thought I had bags of time. Where have they got to on the read-through?
About halfway. Let's see.
I can't understand what he wants.
Yeah. An interview, he said.
But what about?
Me, I suppose. I think he wants to talk to Philip about the war years.
The war? He told you that, did he, Matthew?
More
you can
less.
Listen from here if you like, but the sound's not very good. They're only on one mic. Shall I take you round?
I'll wait, thanks. I'll hang on here until they've finished. They're well past halfway.
I suppose you've met Jack.
Yes, I came here last month. I don't know any of the others except Kath and James Meriden. Only by sight, of course.
He looks the part.
Yes. Who's that on his left?
Miranda Lewis. The one with the beard is Tom Darwin. It's Margaret Adams next to him.
I know her face.
Oh, she was a regular in a TV serial in the 60s. Deadline.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Joy. Joy Springfield, with her back to us. She's local. Does a lot of work here. You know Jack and Kath. The guy in denim's Martin Groom. He and Miranda are both from the radio rep. Both very up and coming. It's a strong cast.
Yes.
Oh, they never put much into the read-through. They save it for later. It's just for timing, really.
I see.
I hear you're a taxman.
For my sins?
This business about husband and wife being taxed separately. How does it work exactly?
How'd it turn out?
51 minutes and 53 seconds.
Not bad. Ah, Andrew. You shouldn't have stayed in the cubicle.
I didn't want to interrupt. Sorry I'm late. How was the timing?
1:53.
Too short.
No, no. One has to allow for the acting. It's fine. Might need cutting, in fact. Always easier to cut than pad out. Ladies and gentlemen, our author, Andrew Benson.
Hello.
Hello.
They'll introduce themselves to you later and tell you what a marvellous play it is and offer teeny suggestions regarding their lives. Right. Now, let's make a start, shall we? You'll be astonished to hear we are going to record it in sequence.
Oh,
so that's...
James, Martin and Miranda.
That'll all take right. us up to lunch. After that, yes, after that, it's everybody back at 2, please.
Right.
James Meriden.
Hello.
It's a very nice script, Andrew. I hope we can do justice to it.
Thank you. I'm sure you will.
Look here, we can I try. Think, James. Mm. The cat, take Andrew round to the cubicle and make him comfortable. Okay, John.
Yes.
Okay, folks, stand by.
Right, light coming in 5 after an ident.
The weight of chance desires, scene 1, take 1.
The idea is that we tie it in with the college's centenary.
That's June, isn't it, Mr. Devereux?
Yes, I believe it is. Do sit down. May I offer you a glass of sherry? How do you like it?
A dry for me, please.
Same here, thanks.
Script noise.
Sounds like bloody Niagara.
Spot's new.
It was perfect a couple of minutes ago.
Thank you.
Cheers. Now, Mr. Devereux, what we'd like to now... Cheers. Now, Mr. Devereux, what we'd like to do now is fill in on the background.
And a few photographs, if that's possible.
I don't see why not.
Miranda's too far left.
Scrub it, George, scrub it. I'm coming round, folks.
That's a mixture of the two.
What's Spot's name again?
Felicity.
Is it now? Fancy that.
Are
you all right, Andrew?
James and Tom.
Don't waste
your time. Their voices are rather similar, from what I heard at the read-through.
A similar timbre, that's all. No problem. Tommy's going to be slightly Welsh-looking.
What's a chicken like, Meg?
Very good. I think I made a mistake with this fish pie.
Oh, mine's all right.
Yes, I should have had the salad. Now, I thought, I always have salad, but the salad's very good here.
Oh, well. Have you worked with Jack before, Meg?
Once or twice.
I like working with Jack. He keeps things moving.
You'll get a lot of radio, do you, George?
A fair amount. Bits and pieces.
I get very little radio.
Ditto.
I've heard you both from something recently. One of Jack's.
Yes, well, thank God for Jack.
Nice to be working with James, isn't it?
Have you worked with him before, John?
Oh, no. I mean, well, you know, a big name. He's still a name, isn't he?
A living legend.
I didn't know James did radio.
He's done quite a lot.
Oh, have you worked with him now?
Yes, several times. A long time ago.
In a previous existence.
Yes.
Where's Martin? Calling his agent. Or a waiter to call for his agent, one or the other. That's how he spends his life. Oh, is he up for something? Oh, a yuppie commercial. High-tech stuff.
Ah, designer stubble and a beggar suit. Beats the bar.
It pays a lot better.
Mm. Martin does ever so well on the box. He's always popping up in something. Well, Martin does well, period.
I thought I knew this
thing. Andrew, room here.
Thanks.
How's it going?
Very well.
Where are you staying?
Balmoral.
Is James staying there?
I shouldn't think so.
Where's the best hotel?
The Towers, I suppose.
That's where Jimmy will be staying.
This is your first play, isn't it, Andrew?
Mm. Yes, it is. It doesn't show, does it?
No. I can write dialogue. It's plots. I'm no good at plots.
Try writing for television.
What did you have, Andrew?
Huh? Oh, the risotto.
Looks nice. Wish I'd had that. Or the chicken.
Or the salad. Have you done any pinto, John?
I
Good lunch.
Oh, I picked the wrong thing. I always do. Oh, but did you eat in the club?
No. I nipped back to the hotel.
Oh.
How are things, Meg? Doing much?
Not recently.
How's Bill?
I don't know. I haven't seen him for years. I believe he's in the States.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Out of touch. What about the children?
Mary's teaching. Peter is a GP.
Is he? Now, I always...
Excuse me. Miranda, do you think I'm...
I didn't see you in the bar, James.
Oh, lunchtime boozing's a thing of the past these days, Tom. Can't go.
It takes practice.
Yes. So how's life?
Professionally or socially?
Both.
I get along. A bit here, a bit there. Not the sparkling career I envisaged, but... So they could actually focus on... Very nice ideas. But they could do that with... Although I don't suppose you do, do you, James? And socially, no, much the same. Ups and downs.
Sorry I'm late, everybody.
Right. Where are we, Kathy?
Page 6, Miranda and James.
Right. Then let's get on, shall we?
Andrew, have you a moment? My line's on page 12, speech 8. Do you think I could say no way instead of I don't think so? I mean, this guy's not a tentative character, is he?
No, I don't suppose he is.
I just thought he'd be more positive. And speech 2, the next page. I think it needs a bit more... Ah, great. We'll have a word later, Andrew. All right?
Right.
I shouldn't listen too much to actors wanting to mess your words about, Andrew.
I don't mind. I'm still learning.
Yes, well, don't be frightened to say no. Has James made any suggestions?
A few.
I thought I recognised his touch.
That may well be, but I think we shouldn't forget exactly what we all owe Philip. Jack, I'm sorry, but I don't follow that. What do we all owe Philip?
Don't worry about understanding it, dear. Just say the sodding words. Coming, Joy, I will reveal all. Can we use any of it, George?
It's doubtful. There was a fluff earlier, and Tom's accent seems to have gone too Welsh.
I wondered about that.
Bloody actors.
I don't want to be a nuisance, Felicity, but I do think it's important.
A trifle heavy.
A guardsman size 12s across a barrack room floor.
Perhaps she's one of these eccentric lady dons. She goes round in hiking boots.
And lives in a castle. George, are you sure Felicity isn't YTS?
No, she's improving. I'll go round and have a word.
Oh, you wouldn't believe how leisurely it all was, Miranda. We would have spent a week on a play of this length.
Really? For radio?
Oh, yes. Filming, of course, was a different matter altogether. That was one mad scramble. I used to get a lot of those quota jobs, Edgar Lustgarten sort of thing.
They're still doing the rounds on late night telly.
Yeah.
I saw you in one recently. Trench coat, trilby, and a pipe.
I always had a trench coat, trilby, and a pipe.
I know lots of people who watch them specially.
Well, you must know some very funny people, Miranda.
I mean, how does it feel? I mean, watching yourself all those years ago.
Now, let's not harp on about the years, shall we? Well, it's like watching a different person in a different world. At the time that film was made, I was living in Bayswater with two other actors, all ex-servicemen, all having the time of our lives. Or so we thought. Nothing to say about me. What about you? You doing much?
Oh, quite a bit. I'm with Radio Web for another 4 months, and there's a promise of the RSC next year. Well, I'm up for one or two things.
Good. Where are you based?
Town, Islington. Don't you miss London, James?
Oh, not a jot.
I don't know how you could walk away from it all and just vanish off the scene.
Oh, I didn't vanish, Miranda. It was the scene. My scene.
Find a new one.
Getting rather late in the day for that. How much? Well, there we are.
Who was it said, publish and be damned? Some politician?
It was Wellington, I think. Is that how you feel, Philip?
That is exactly how I feel.
But who will be damned? Have you considered that?
Okay, George.
Fine for me.
Andrew.
Very nice.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Meg. Perfection. I'll buy that. The bar, I think, is open.
Ah, a very good day.
How can you fail with such a cast?
That must be it.
Are we on schedule?
You have a schedule, Jack. I thought you just did it.
We do have a schedule, and we're ahead of it.
Good God.
It would suit me very nicely to finish early tomorrow.
Yeah, let's not tempt fate.
What do you think? Anybody fancy going out for a meal when we finish here?
Why not?
Yes, fine.
I have a few calls to make first.
Aren't there phones you can carry around? Right, well, the question is, where?
Well, there's a very nice little Italian place down the road.
Oh, there we are. Enjoy it.
Well, it sounds marvellous, but I have to get home to my loved ones.
Where's Miranda?
No.
Oh, don't know.
Anybody seen Miranda?
No.
Sorry.
Ah. What's your face, then, James?
Joy, that's your name.
That's mine, yes.
Cheers, James.
Lovely, lovely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, welcome.
We're eating out, James. Italian. Will you be joining us?
Thanks, Tom, but I don't think so.
Are you going home?
No, well, that's not a drive. I'm staying at the Towers. No, to tell you the truth,
I'm shattered.
It gets very claustrophobic being in studio all day. And you're in almost every scene.
Oh, and he's complaining.
I'm afraid I'm out of training. Old age, Joy.
Old age. Me, fair friend, you never can be.
Oh,
I am
knackered.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'll see you.
Bye, James.
Sleep well.
He's nice, isn't he? Don't you think he's nice?
An officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, I think he's nice and very good.
Yes, he is.
Now, that is fame. A lackey to tell one the carriage awaits.
It makes it all seem so effortless, so natural.
Being natural takes a lot of hard work and planning. James is a great planner.
Is he?
The art of making it look easy. Some have it, some don't. Well, I'm ready for another one. Anybody else? What can I get you?
Yes,
thank you. Right, I think I'd better have a tray.
Why is it, Jack? Whenever I see you, it is at the bar, going to it or coming away from it.
Because that is where you are to be found. How are things going? Are you on something here?
Yes, Telly. The thing about the nurse. I lie in bed dying. Very me. I call it a cameo, but blink and you'll miss me. Oh, I much prefer radio. They can't show the ravages. Anything going?
Could be. Give me a ring.
I appear you've got Jimmy Meriden in the one you're doing now.
That's right. Ah, cool.
I hope he's mellowed since your first encounter.
What?
Oh, I was there, Jack, in the production.
So you were.
And a nasty time was had by war, as I remember. All forgiven and forgotten.
Oh, water under the bridge, Connie.
You nearly went under, I seem to recall. Saw Meg Adams at your table earlier. Is she in it?
Yes.
Oh, that is interesting. Meg and Jim in together.
They've known each other for years.
How have they been?
With each other, you mean?
Yes.
Fine. Shouldn't they be?
The day after I last saw them together, the Troc, I think it was, Meg took an overdose, and Jimmy flew to the States. I would imagine that they haven't seen each other since.
As far as I'm concerned, Connie, they just happen to be working together. And very good they are, too.
Jack, I do not wish to be rude, but some of us are dying of thirst. Connie!
Don't say it.
Say what?
Still soldiering on, old girl. Oh, he always says that.
I was going to say how marvellous you were looking.
For my age, yes, I know. I see you're teamed up with your old chum, Jimmy. Like Meg.
Connie, do you honestly believe that anyone within the profession can call James Meriden a chum? Myself as well.
Oh, a long time ago, darling.
It seems but yesterday.
I'm sorry, Connie. What are you having? Perhaps you'd like to join us.
I thought you'd never ask, darling.
Ah,
I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
We couldn't believe it when we saw you. I thought it can't be.
We felt we had to say something. Your films have brought us so much pleasure.
Still do.
Well, that's very kind.
Thank you again. Yes,
goodbye. Lovely to have met you.
Well, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Does that happen very often?
Only when I'm amongst people of...
Well, it was obviously the highlight of their evening.
Oh, yes. Well, you'll never guess who we saw at the Towers last night, and with a girl young enough to be his daughter. That was the highlight.
But it must be very gratifying to have complete strangers come over like that.
I used to hate it, but not now. I'd like to be remembered. That's why I want to give a good performance in this thing we're doing now.
Oh, you'll be marvellous.
More.
May I ask you something, James?
Yes, of course.
It's shock, I'm afraid.
What else is there?
It's just that I'm very nervous about the scene we're doing tomorrow. I still don't know how to approach it.
The one in the library after the meeting?
Yes. Mm. I find the text rather ambiguous.
Yes.
I mean, is she taken in by him or not?
Yes, that occurred to me. I have a script in my room if you'd like to go through it.
Are you sure you don't mind?
No, not at all. Would you like something with a coffee, Miranda?
Morning, Andrew.
Oh, good morning.
How was the meal last night?
Mm?
The Italian place. You were all going there. Was it good?
Oh, I don't know. We never got there.
Oh?
We stayed at the club, had something to eat in the bar, I think.
Did Jack stay?
Yes. And Tom, various others. We met some people, Tom knew, Jeremy.
Jeremy. So a good time was had by all.
It was then.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I hear you never got as far as the Italian place.
No. We got talking. Is George here?
He's in the studio, briefing Felicity.
Ah, dear Felicity. I'll go and have a word. Andrew. Page 27, speeches 9 to 16. I think we'll have to lose them. Have a look, will you?
Yes, right.
I think I've got some aspirin somewhere, Andrew. Gone off the canteen, George?
I've been banned by the wife. She now packs me a lunch, or what passes for a lunch. Have you seen Jack? He asked me to be back early.
He's on his way. Tom and James are here already, I see.
Unprecedented keenness.
I thought Tom wasn't needed until 3. Are they rehearsing?
It looks like. Let's have a listen.
Where did that leave me? I disappear for 10 pages. So do some of my best lines.
Tom, that's nothing to do with me.
Don't give me that. You run this bloody show from the moment you walked in.
I made one or two suggestions.
You're some modest, self-convincing star. Now, that is a performance.
You put in a very good performance yourself, Tom. Blighted talent, genius even, if the fates hadn't conspired.
It wasn't the fate that was you, you smug bastard. Oh. You're dragging me there.
I don't think that's in the script, is it, Kath?
Not in the one we're doing. Oh, Tom's going, thank goodness. I thought he was going to hit James. I did, really.
Do we tell Jack?
We'll have to, I suppose. Oh, everything was going so well.
Tom will be all right. He had to let off steam, that's all.
Have you said anything?
No. We were perfectly okay in the scene before tea.
I didn't realise cutting a few lines would mean so much to Tom.
Well, I think it goes a lot deeper than that, Andrew, and way back.
I assumed they'd be friends.
Oh?
The Meriden did ask for them.
Distinguished actors like to do that sort of thing. Exercise of power.
But neither of them can stand him, can they? Tom's quite open about it. Meg's more subtle, but she makes it quite obvious.
Yeah, well, luckily for all concerned, we producers are above that sort of thing. Still, nearly finished, and I shan't be sorry when we do. The reception scene's going to be a sob. Thank God we're okay for time.
I keep slurping, do I, Jack?
Yes, please. Say the first bit, drink, then the second bit, drink.
Do I have to?
You do. The drink is supposed to be flowing and you're all well away.
Well, you might have got us a nice bottle of wine or something. I mean, what is it about BBC water?
Perhaps they put something in it, like in the army. It stops us getting too frisky.
Really? Anyway, I don't think I can sip another drop.
You should have brought your own, like James.
Ah, well, James is the complete professional. His own supply of pity.
Only a little left to her, I'm afraid, and I do seem to have to slurp more than most.
Just one good one, Joy, and we're there. Everybody okay?
Yes,
now, you're sure about the fall, James?
Absolutely certain, Jack. I've always been noted as one of the best fallers in the business. The script calls for it, and I think it's right.
Felicity could give it a go.
Perfectly happy, Jack.
Fine, fine, right, let's go.
Lloyd coming in five after an ident.
Scene 23, take 4.
And in the circumstances, I must admit that I'm not absolutely certain what the toast would be. Scholarship? The great British press? I think perhaps not. Friendship, perhaps? No. On reflection, I think poetry and fond farewells.
Philip, see.
Poetry and fond farewells.
Poetry and fond farewells.
Oh my God!
Philip! Philip!
He's passed out. Hardly surprising the amount he's been putting away.
It isn't that. I can't hear him breathing.
Lovely. Okay for you, George.
Fine.
Thank you, everybody. I'll buy that. Now, just the scene with Tom and Meg, and that's it.
Jack, there's something wrong. James hasn't got up.
What is it? What's wrong?
It's James. I think he's fainted or something. He looks awful.
Get a doctor, Jack. James. Quick!
Will you all clear the studio, please? Stay with him, Tom. I'm coming round.
An ambulance is on its way.
2 minutes, they said.
There's no need for urgency, I'm afraid. He's dead.
Oh, God.
He was standing here, you say?
Yes.
He drank from the glass, put it on the table and then collapsed?
It was in the script like that. We'd rehearsed it. Nobody realised.
And the water in the glass came from this bottle?
Yes. What was it? A stroke?
No. I shall have to call the police, Mr. Roberts.
The police? Why?
I think they should be here, and as quickly as possible. Is there a security guard or somebody I can leave here while I telephone? Mr. Roberts.
Yes, there's a guard outside. Shall I get him?
If you would. And I suggest you ask everyone who is here to stay.
What's going on? Is anyone ever going to tell us?
I have to be back in town by 8.
You can forget that.
Oh, you can hardly expect to say cheerio and walk away, Martin.
What's the point of keeping us all here? All right, James is dead, but...
life goes on.
What's to be gained by making us stay? What do they want?
Oh, no, he's a bloody thick.
Well, Andrew, what's happening, do you know?
I believe the police want to talk to everyone.
Talk to us? Or question?
I've not exchanged a word with James all day. I've only seen him in the studio.
Have they said how James died, Andrew?
There's another doctor in there. I think it's the police surgeon.
You're certain?
As sure as I can be here.
But it could be natural causes.
Possible, but not very likely. I should be surprised if Forensic don't find cyanide in either the glass or the bottle. Or both.
How quick would it be?
It depends on how much. Could be as little as 20 seconds. Did he collapse immediately?
No, he drank, put the glass down, and then fell.
That, Inspector, is what I call a dramatic pause. Have you finished with him?
Yes. Yeah.
Kept his looks, didn't he? Mm-hmm. My wife's heartthrob.
She will be interested. How many times had you rehearsed the scene, Mr. Roberts?
4, possibly 5. We'd recorded it 3 times.
Oh. But they were no good.
Well, they weren't bad, but James wanted to have another go at the final speech. In long scenes like this, we sometimes use the best parts of several takes.
I see. Why did Meriden have his own mineral water?
Well, he was very fussy about what he drank and ate. He was a very particular sort of man.
Yes, so I gather. Do you know if anyone else touched the bottle or glass?
Well, I've no idea, Inspector. I'm sure he brought the bottle in himself. I saw him.
But it's possible someone else may have touched it.
Well, yes, it's possible. There was a lot of milling about. It was supposed to be a reception. There was a great deal of movement.
And what about when you weren't rehearsing or recording? What did the actors do then?
Well, stood around and chatted. It was a fiddly sort of scene. There was a lot of hanging around.
How many people?
The whole cast. Six plus Spot.
You had a dog in it?
No, no. The Spot effects person, one of the studio managers. Spot for short.
Oh.
And me, of course. I was in and out.
How had the production gone, Mr. Roberts?
Very smoothly. We were due to finish ahead of time, which is rare.
No clashes of temperament, anything like that?
No. A very competent and professional cast, Inspector.
Yeah. How did they get on with Meriden? Oh, he was in a different league, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, everyone seemed to get on well enough.
Did he know any of them before this production?
I believe he'd worked with Tom Darwin and Meg, Margaret Adams, many years ago.
I shall need a couple of rooms where we can interview people, Mr. Roberts. Smaller than this.
I'll sort something out.
I thought he was very pleasant to everybody. Just another member of the cast.
I believe he already knew Mr. Darwin and Miss Adams.
Yes, he suggested them for parts in the play.
He suggested them to Mr. Roberts?
Yes, in the early stages when James was discussing the play with Jack.
So James Meriden, Miss Adams and Mr. Darwin were all old friends?
Well, I thought they would be, but no, I don't think they were.
Why do you say that?
Meg seemed to avoid him, and Tom, well...
Yeah?
Well, Tom and James had an argument this afternoon in the studio, just after lunch. George and I heard them. It was quite unintentional.
What was the argument about, do you know?
Well, I think it was about Tom having some lines cut on the surface. But I think there was more to it than that.
A heated argument, would you say?
On Tom's side, yes. James was quite calm. Jack thought there was some antagonism from the past.
Mr. Roberts knew about the argument?
Yes, I told him. Well, I had to, really. Tom was fine in the afternoon.
Do you think he disliked James Meriden?
Oh, there's a bit of a chip on his shoulder, I think. Nothing serious. He's like that.
What about Miss Adams? You say she avoided Meriden.
Well, I wouldn't say avoided. She couldn't really, could she? They were working together. James seemed to be particularly nice to her, to draw into the conversation. But she didn't want to know. I think she's just naturally a very quiet sort of person. Connie might be able to tell you more. She knew all three of them in the old days.
Connie? Is she in the cast?
No, Connie Milton. She's filming here. She'll be around somewhere.
Did you know James Meriden had put your name forward for a part in the play, Mr. Darwin?
No, I didn't. And I find it difficult to believe.
Well, it's true.
Well, there's a thing.
You're surprised?
Astonished.
I take it there was no love lost between you and Meriden?
There was never any to lose, Inspector.
And what about professional respect?
Not much of that, either.
But you knew him very well some years ago, I understand. You worked together several times.
Do you like all the people you work with, Inspector?
No, but there's usually a reason. Why did you dislike James Meriden?
Just one of those things. A clash of egos.
I understand he intervened at an important time in your career, Mr. Darwin. Not to your benefit.
And how do you come to understand that, Inspector? Oh, sorry, it's Chief Inspector, isn't it?
Is it true?
Meg? No. No. There's nobody else around old enough. Ah, Connie. Dear Connie.
Well?
Ask Connie.
I prefer to ask you, Mr. Darwin.
I get quite a lot of police parts these days. I do a very good inspector. You're the first chief inspector I've met. I should be taking notes. I'm bound to get a chief inspector one of these days. A super, even. That's higher, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I wouldn't be a rewarding study, Mr. Darwin. I don't spout classical quotations or write poetry or know anything about opera. I'm not bucolic either. I don't have some little idiosyncrasy like those detectives in novels or plays.
No gimmick?
Not at all. Bread and butter copper. But I like my questions answered, and I keep on until they are. And I like a good story.
Oh, why didn't you say so at first? What has Connie told you?
You lost a very important part because of Meriden.
That's it, in a nutshell.
And not in a nutshell?
James and I were in a play together, 58, no, 59. We were doing a tour of the home counties. Good business. Meriden was the draw. It was his production.
He owned it.
Yeah, co-author too, he claimed. He thought he'd get it to the West End. Well, it's a nice little play, but no chance. During the tour, I was offered a film, Hollywood. Not a major role, but it couldn't miss. We were all under contract to Meriden. I asked him to release me, but he wouldn't. I pleaded, argued. Eventually, I walked out. But by that time, the Hollywood offer was withdrawn.
I see.
Oh, that's not all. Meriden's play never got to the West End. It folded just after I left. One guess who got the part, my part, in the film.
Oh.
Right. The part was written up into something like a second lead. Meriden's first real success in Hollywood. He went from strength to strength. And I sank almost without trace. And it took me a hell of a time to get back to the surface.
And you've had no contact with Meriden since?
Our paths have crossed, usually acrimoniously, once or twice. You see why I find it difficult to believe that he asked for me in the same cast.
Well, he may have been trying to make amends in some way.
Inspector, whatever James Meriden did was for the greater glory and profit of James Meriden. For him, people existed only in relation to his needs.
Is that a commonly held view, Mr. Darwin?
He was not universally loved. Look, Inspector, if all actors who had grudges against other actors decided to bump each other off, they'd be bloody mayhem. But fortunately, we are a gentle lot.
Of course. Right. Thank you, Mr. Darwin. Keep yourself available, will you?
Oh. Does that mean I can go back to town?
Not unless you want to make the journey back here in the immediate future.
I hope the bead will stand another overnight.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sure they will. If you do go out, leave word where we can reach you.
I shall be at the club, or the hotel.
Right. It might be a good idea if you try to keep a clear head, Mr. Darwin.
You didn't want sugar, did you?
No, no. And then he said he had a script in his room.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, the thought crossed my mind. Then I thought, no. So we went up to his suite.
And did you go through the script?
Briefly. I mean, we talked about Paris, mostly.
Paris?
Well, I was there last month. Apparently, James was there in the war. I thought the Germans were there.
Oh, James had something to do with the French resistance.
Yeah, that's right. Well, after the war, he had a flat in Paris. And a girl. Rather like me, he said.
Uh-huh.
Yes, well, that's what I thought. Things were sort of moving in that direction when he stopped.
How do you mean?
Well, one minute he was turning on the charm, and the next he suddenly seemed old.
No, he realised he wasn't up to it.
Well, I don't know.
So nothing happened?
We talked, that's all.
What about?
The play. He was terribly unsure of himself. Do you know that? I mean, I had to keep telling him he was great. I mean, he was, wasn't he?
Oh,
I thought so. He kept saying, this chap's vulnerable. I'm no good at that. Self-assurance, that's my stock in trade. That and a strong profile. I couldn't believe it.
Have you told the inspector all this?
I got the sergeant. I don't know whether he took it in. He was more interested in my legs.
When did you last work with James Meriden, Miss Adams?
Oh, 1961.
Did you know him well?
I did then. I've hardly seen him since.
You didn't keep in touch?
No.
Ships that pass in the night?
Yes. Acting is like that.
Mm. James Meriden suggested you for a part in this play, Miss Adams. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, why do you think he did it?
I don't know.
Happens all the time, I suppose. Old friends putting in a good word for each other.
Yes, I suppose it does.
But you weren't old friends, were you, Miss Adams? What would have been your reaction if you'd known that Meriden had got you the part?
I wouldn't have taken it.
Why not? Look, Miss Adams, it's quite clear from what other people have said that you were very cool towards James Meriden, to say the least. He treated you like an old friend, but you didn't want to know. Why was that?
I don't think I have to answer that, do I, Inspector?
No. But if you don't, I shall have to ask around. Your friends, colleagues, relations, someone will tell us. I'm sure you'd prefer not to involve others.
I'm sure some of them would enjoy it. James and I had an affair many years ago. It ended messily. Will that do?
For the time being. Now, you say your son is a GP?
Yes, he is.
Hey, do you see much of him?
I stayed with him for a few days just before I came here.
Did you? That must have been very nice.
Yes, it was.
The actor, James Meriden, collapsed and died this afternoon during the recording of a radio play at the BBC's Pebble Mill Studios in Birmingham. Although he played principal roles for the Royal Shakespeare Company and in the West End, James Meriden is remembered chiefly for his work in films, both in this country and in the United States. He was 67. There will be a full appreciation of James Meriden's career in tomorrow evening's Kaleidoscope. In the third test at Edgbaston, Ian Booth.
Nothing about the cause of death?
Or the police?
Not yet. There will be on the 9 o'clock.
Hmm. And what about the press?
Oh, they're onto it already. The phone's never stopped.
How do they know? The police?
I doubt it. Not yet. Quite a few ex-newspaper men in this place. Somebody will have rung a friend for a consideration. The whole of Fleet Street will descend tomorrow, if not tonight.
You think so?
Certain. Press conferences, the whole bag of tricks.
Will we be involved?
No, not our pigeon, thank God. It is being dealt with at a very much higher level. We are to do nothing and say nothing. We are interested parties.
The inspector said I could go.
Same here.
You're obviously not regarded as principals.
But who is?
I think I share top billing with Meg and Tom. Hmm? We've all been told to make ourselves available.
Why?
Because somebody slipped something into Meriden's Perrier water.
What?
And because dear old Connie's been talking to Chief Inspector Lombard.
Oh, dear. That's my fault.
Not to worry. Connie would have gone to him anyway.
But what can she tell them?
Why Tom and Meg hated Meriden's guts. Mm. Together with the tale of how he almost ended my career at the Beeb.
What?
I'm going back to the club.
You said you'd ring your wife.
You ring her. Tell her I may be late.
What shall I say?
A slight crisis has arisen, and I am helping the police with their inquiries. Oh. My mother-in-law's staying with us. That'll make her day.
And it seems that Meriden asked for both Margaret Adams and Tom Darwin to be in the cast.
He mentioned their names.
Did he say why?
No. Old pals act, I suppose.
But they weren't old pals, were they, Mr. Roberts?
Well, there was a certain coolness. His career had prospered, theirs hadn't.
And they blamed Meriden for that?
I don't know.
Why didn't you tell me that Meriden had asked for them?
It slipped my mind. I did have a lot to think about, Inspector.
What about your own previous involvement with James Meriden? Did that slip your mind too?
Involvement?
You worked with him on a play early in your career. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, do I need to? When I come to write my memoirs, I shall call it Long Memories and Forgotten Favours.
Very good. Is it true that Meriden had you taken off a play a few years ago?
Actors can't do things like that, Inspector.
Not even famous ones?
Not even very famous ones.
Nevertheless, you were taken off the production.
I took myself off.
I've heard it said it cost you a very big promotion.
I wouldn't know. You'd have to ask upstairs.
You had no qualms about working with him again?
None at all.
Well, perhaps you wanted to show him you were still around.
He was the best man for the job.
And plenty of others could have done it equally well, surely.
I don't think so. Look, if you're going to interview everybody who disliked James Meriden, Inspector, you're going to be a very busy man.
I don't need to see them, Mr. Roberts. They weren't all here. Just some of them.
Have you seen the statement, sir? Quick glance, that's all. You've been busy.
Well, we had a lot of people to interview.
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? Too many people around. Plenty of coming and going. The bottle and the glass there on the table. Did Meriden drink from the glass at the previous rehearsal?
There's no traces of cyanide in the bottle. Glass was on the table half empty. Someone slipped the cyanide in before the next recording.
With eight people there and nobody noticed.
Seems not.
Mm. So, what do you think?
Well, it's down to three. Margaret Adams, Tom Darwin and the producer, Jack Roberts. None of the others had any real connection with Meriden.
The girl, Miranda Lewis, she had dinner with him. Went to his room.
No, I don't think there's anything there.
Who do you fancy?
No idea. The motives are there, though.
What about two of them working together? All three, perhaps?
It's possible. It would have made it easier. But, I mean, why did Meriden ask for Margaret Adams and Darwin? That's what puzzles me.
Why ask for two people who had every reason to hate his guts?
Hang on. We only have Robert's word that Meriden did ask for them.
Well, his secretary said the same.
Only because he told her. She didn't hear Meriden ask. Robert's could have been lying enough to suspect.
Or accomplices.
True. When are you having them in?
Later this morning.
No. I think I'd better be in on it.
Right. When's the press conference?
3 this afternoon. The chief's handling that himself.
Nice to see himself on the box, doesn't he? Suppose he's having his hair done this morning.
Have you seen John?
He was here a couple of minutes ago. I think he's gone for coffee. He wants to know if he and Meg will get extra expenses.
That, I would say, is the least of his worries. You would not believe the flap that's on upstairs.
Oh.
Did you see News at 10 last night?
No.
Apparently it went miles further than the Beeb, radio or TV. Oh. So, Newsnight followed suit. There's a hell of a row on.
I bought a mirror and a sun.
Blimey!
That photograph of James must be about 1960.
At least.
Tom says he's looking out an equally flashing one of himself.
I might be equally well advised. Any sign of Meg?
Oh, she rang from her hotel. She's been asked to go to the police station on Herries Lane.
Is she going?
I think she's gone. She was in a bit of a state.
She should have waited.
Inspector Lombard rang just after you went upstairs.
My invitation to call at the Nick.
You think so?
I do. Do you know if Tom's been asked to go?
Yes. He says he's not going. He says they can come and fetch him. He wants to be hustled out of the building with a blanket over his head. I don't see how he can joke about it. I really don't.
You think he's joking? I'd better go and find him.
Well, what if the inspector rings?
Fix the time, I suppose.
But how did you feel?
Concerned, obviously.
Nothing more than concern, Miss Adams.
As far as I knew, James had passed out. I didn't know until later that he was dead.
And how did you feel then?
I was shocked, like everybody else.
But you knew him much better than any of the others, Miss Adams. Didn't you feel grief, a sense of loss?
That came later.
During our previous interview, you said you felt nothing when you heard James Meriden was dead.
That was last night.
Your immediate reaction was indifference. Since then, you've had time to think.
I've had time to feel.
When did you learn that James Meriden was going to head the cast, Miss Adams?
I don't know. About a fortnight before the recording date, I suppose.
You say you would have withdrawn if you'd known you'd been engaged on Meriden's recommendation. Why didn't you withdraw when you found out he was in the play?
Well, I'd signed the contract, and it wouldn't have been fair to the producer. I needed the work. It wouldn't have helped my future chances if I'd...
Have you known Jack Roberts long?
Well, I've worked with him several times.
Recently?
Last year, I think.
And Mr. Darwin was in the same production?
Yes, he was.
You've known Mr. Darwin for some time.
Oh, I've known Tom for a long time.
Did you ever talk about James Meriden when you were in your last play together?
No.
What about Mr. Roberts? Did Meriden's name never crop up?
No, why should it?
Well, it was a mutual acquaintance, a famous name.
We didn't even mention him.
No? Can we go back to the visit you made to your sons, Miss Adams?
We've gone over all that once.
Now, you say it's an old-style set-up, a country doctor, the surgery next to the house.
It's a group practice.
But your son has a flat in the house.
Yes.
And there's a dispensary next to the surgery. Where is it in relation to the flat?
I've told you all this. It's...
Yes?
Inspector Thomas says, could you come, sir?
Tell Inspector Thomas he will have to wait.
He said it's urgent, sir.
What's happened, Constable?
A package has just come in the post.
And?
It's a cassette, sir. From James Meriden.
I hated the idea of growing old. I hated the onset of growing old. I hated being old. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to come. No, I don't think so. Not for me. If there'd been anyone along with me, it might have been different. When Sylvia died, I never realised how it was going to be. I soon found that our friends, and God knows they were few enough, weren't our friends. They were Sylvia's. The idea of suicide came soon after Sylvia's death. If I'd been working regularly, it might have been different. If I'd been working at all, it might have been different. I claimed that I'd retired. The truth was, I'd been retired. I couldn't have coped if an offer had come. I was never much good at learning lines. It's gone completely now. My last stage appearance may have looked all right, but I still break out into a cold sweat when I even begin to think about it. So what to do? Build myself a new life? No good. I found myself thinking far more about dying than living. I'd sorted out why. It was just a question of how, or rather, when. I had the means. In 44, when I went over to France on the cloak and dagger stuff, I was issued with my little exit pill. Cyanide, I think it was. When I got back, I kept it. I don't know why. A presentiment, perhaps. It was an oddly comforting thing to have. Very quick and very effective, I believe. So, I had to decide when. Then my agent sent me the script. Heaven sent, one might say. Reasonably literate. A nice meaty part. And, most important of all, the right ending. So I thought, why not? I've always been known as a selfish, limelight-seeking bastard. Why disappoint my public? Or rather, why not remind them I'm still around? Front-page stuff instead of a few lines on the inside pages. At first, I intended to slip the pill into my drink during the big scene, leaving a tape or a note to be found afterwards. But on reflection, that seemed rather tame. Then I began to see possibilities. My own production, complete with red herrings, detective suspects, the lot. Just like the best whodunits, with guaranteed worldwide distribution. So I went ahead. It concentrated the mind wonderfully once I'd decided. Gave me something to live for, one might say. With so much on my mind, I found the acting bit something of an ordeal, even with no lines to learn. My apologies to Tom and Meg. Jack, too. Perfect casting. I hope things weren't too troublesome for too long. I trust I got the timing right and the scene recorded well. I urge everyone concerned to see that the play is broadcast. for everybody's sake. My own, most of all. As Tom and Meg well know, virtually everything I've ever done has been for my own sweet sake. Even this. Goodbye.
When was it posted?
Yesterday afternoon. Letter post. Apparently Meriden went out of the building at tea time just before the big scene. Said he wanted a breath of fresh air.
And no one had any idea of the way he was feeling.
Doesn't look like it. Although there is something in Miranda Lewis's statement. He seemed rather worried about the play. My first impression was that he was very confident, but he wasn't really like that at all. The general impression amongst the others is that Meriden was impossible to get close to. He never stopped acting.
Have you spoken to his doctor yet?
Briefly, I'm seeing him tonight. Meriden had trouble sleeping, tended to worry about his health. He was on sleeping pills, had been for some time.
Yeah, it would have saved everybody a lot of trouble if Meriden had settled for a handful of pills and a large gin instead of all this performance.
Yeah. But that's what he wanted, wasn't it? A big final performance. It fits all we know about him.
Hardly normal, is it?
He was an actor, wasn't he?
I wonder if we'll ever get to hear it.
James's parting shot.
It'll be played at the inquest, surely. Well, there's evidence. They always read suicide notes.
The press are bound to pick it up. They'll give a word-by-word transcript, if they're allowed to.
Well, whatever he said, thank God he did.
Do you know what he said?
Oh, the police told us the gist, that's all.
There we were, bit players to the last, with James centre stage.
It took courage to go through with it.
The ultimate ego trip.
Well, could you have done it, Tom?
No. It wouldn't seem worth it. Bugger posterity. If I have to go before my time, it'll be amongst people who love me. There are, thank God, a few of those left.
That was James's trouble, wasn't it? He had no one. I think there was something splendid about it.
Splendid?
He wanted to die working.
He wanted to die famous.
And according to Inspector Lombard, he wanted the play to be broadcast, which is why we're here.
I don't think BH will let it go out.
They won't want to, but I think they'll have to. It'll be too much pressure.
Pressure or morbid curiosity?
It'll go out, whatever the reason.
And there's still a scene left to record. I'd like to do it, just in case. It seems sensible while we're still here, but if you don't feel up to it, I understand. We can leave it until later.
I'd rather do it now.
It's only a couple of pages. Meg?
I don't mind.
Neither do I. After all, it's what he wanted, isn't it?
Oh, that's very true. Well, I suppose if we don't do it...
It was very moving.
What a crowd! I didn't realise there would be so many.
The cream of British drama.
And the cream of British media.
There could be a connection.
Whose idea was a memorial service?
Tom's.
Honestly?
I felt I owed it to James. My agent has suddenly realised that I'm alive.
Oh, well. Well, it's lovely to see you all again. Congratulations, Andrew. I thought the play came over very well.
Thank you, Joy.
And well reviewed.
James was well reviewed.
You got workmanlike and well plotted.
And somebody said promising.
Somebody also said a good play to die in.
Well, that was inevitable.
I thought it was a compliment. Why don't you write a nice little play so we can all get together again, Andrew?
The weight of chance desires too. Just when you thought it was safe to make a toast. You know what I think? I think it's quite likely we'll get together again. Even now, some bright spark of a producer stroke writer, bereft of original ideas, is planning a drama doc or a faction based on James Demise. We may even be invited to play ourselves. Personally, I think I'd make a better James than me.
Nothing in his life became him like the leaving it. He died as one that had been studied in his death to throw away the dearest thing he owed.
What do you think, Meg?
That was very good, Tom, very good.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice?
Tom, what about a drink? I know just a place.
Oh, darling, what a good idea.
In a
Very Meticulous Death by T.D. Webster. Jack Roberts was played by Bert Parnaby, Andrew Benson by Graham Colclough, and James Meriden by Edwin Richfield. Tom was Roger Hume, and Meg, Tina Gray. Martin was played by Andrew Wincott, Joy by Hedley Nicklow, Miranda by Rebecca Harbord, Kath by Judith Boyd, and Connie by Joe Kendall. The studio manager was Andy Hockley, Inspector Lombard, Terry Malloy, and the superintendent, Roger Rowland. Technical presentation was by Steve Portnoy, Andy Morton, and Rob Taylorson. A Very Meticulous Death was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.